Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How to Raise a Wild Child, The Art and Science of Falling in Love with Nature is a non-fiction parenting and nature education book by paleontologist and science communicator Scott D. Sampson. It argues that children develop a durable relationship with the natural world, not through occasional grand outings alone, but through repeated, direct, and personally meaningful experiences in nearby nature. Drawing on research from psychology, education, and health sciences, Sampson presents nature connection as a developmental need as well as a cultural choice. The book is written for parents, teachers, and caregivers who want practical ways to help children become curious, attentive, and comfortable outdoors. Its structure combines science, examples, and guiding principles, including the EMU framework of experience, mentoring, and unstructured time. Rather than treating nature as a special topic to be taught from a distance, the book frames it as a lived relationship that adults can nurture by example, invitation, and patience. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, nature connection begins with everyday experience, not occasional wilderness trips. A central argument of the book is that children fall in love with nature through frequent firsthand contact with living systems around them. Sampson does not dismiss national parks or dramatic wilderness, but he emphasizes that powerful bonds are usually built in nearby settings such as backyards, neighborhood green spaces, ponds, vacant lots, and schoolyards. This matters because it makes nature connection accessible to families who do not have the time, money, or mobility to travel far. The book, therefore, shifts the definition of meaningful outdoor experience away from spectacle and toward repetition, familiarity, and sensory attention. By encouraging children to notice plants, insects, weather, soil, and animals in ordinary places, Sampson shows how wonder can emerge from the local rather than the exceptional. This approach also supports habit formation when children repeatedly interact with the same place. They begin to recognize patterns, change, and ecological relationships. In that sense, the book presents nature not as a destination, but as a daily environment that can be learned, loved, and remembered. Secondly, the EMU framework explains how adults can mentor without taking over. One of the book's most useful contributions is its EMU framework, which stands for experience, mentoring, and unstructured time. The idea is that adults should not simply deliver facts about nature or control every outdoor activity. Instead, they should create conditions in which children can encounter nature directly, while adults guide with curiosity rather than authority. Sampson's model of mentoring is especially important because it redefines expertise. A nature mentor does not need to know every species or answer every question. What matters more is a willingness to observe alongside children, ask open-ended questions, and model respect for living things. This makes the adult a co-explorer rather than a lecturer. The book also argues that mentoring works best when it supports the child's own attention and interests instead of substituting adult agendas. In practice, that means noticing what captures a child's curiosity, slowing down enough to explore it, and resisting the impulse to turn every moment into a lesson. The framework is practical because it gives adults a role that is active but not dominating. Thirdly, unstructured outdoor play is presented as a developmental necessity. Sampson places unusual emphasis on unstructured time outdoors, especially in early childhood. The book argues that free play in natural settings is not a luxury added after academics, sports, and organized activities. It is part of how children build confidence, imagination, competence, and emotional resilience. In wild or semi-wild places, children invent their own games, test boundaries, and respond to materials such as sticks, rocks, mud, leaves, and water. These loose parts encourage creativity because they can become tools, props, shelters, or symbols depending on the child's imagination. The absence of rigid direction also allows children to develop agency, since they decide what to investigate and how long to stay with it. Sampson treats this as especially valuable in a culture that often overschedules childhood. He suggests that adults should get children outside, step back, and let play unfold. This is not a call for neglect. It is an argument that self-directed play in a natural setting teaches forms of learning that cannot be replicated through instruction alone, including risk assessment, persistence, and social negotiation. Fourthly, the book links nature experience to health, attention, and learning. Another major dimension of the book is its use of research to show why nature matters beyond sentiment or nostalgia. Sampson draws on scientific findings suggesting that time outdoors can reduce stress, improve attention, support emotional regulation, and contribute to overall well-being. The book also connects nature exposure with school performance and social outcomes, making the case that outdoor experience is relevant to both family life and education policy. This research-based approach is important because it helps move the discussion beyond the assumption that nature is merely relaxing or recreational. Samson presents nature as an environment that can support human functioning in measurable ways. At the same time, he is careful not to reduce the book to a list of benefits. The scientific evidence serves a larger purpose. It explains why a child who feels emotionally connected to the natural world may be more likely to value, protect, and continue exploring it. In that sense, the health and learning arguments are not separate from the book's moral and ecological concerns. They reinforce the claim that nature connection shapes both personal development and future stewardship. Lastly, balancing technology and nature is treated as a realistic modern parenting task. The book does not simply oppose technology. Instead, it recognizes that digital tools are now part of childhood and that parents need realistic strategies rather than unrealistic nostalgia. Samson argues that technology should not replace direct nature experience, but it can sometimes support curiosity about the natural world when used intentionally. More importantly, he frames the challenge as one of balanced children should be able to engage with screens and still develop a strong outdoor life. This makes the book more practical than simple anti-screen writing, because it acknowledges contemporary family routines, safety anxieties, and urban living. Samson also stresses that children tend to value what the adults around them value, so parents and caregivers must examine their own habits. If adults are detached from nature, children are less likely to form a strong connection themselves. By combining guidance on technology, modeling, and nearby nature, the book offers a workable response to modern childhood rather than an idealized one. The result is a parenting philosophy that is both aspirational and grounded in present-day realities. In conclusion, How to Raise a Wild Child is best suited for parents, teachers, caregivers, outdoor educators, and anyone concerned about the decline of childhood contact with nature. Its practical value lies in how it translates a broad idea into usable guidance. Start close to home, value direct experience, mentor through curiosity, protect time for free play, and treat technology as something to balance rather than simply ban. Readers looking for a book that combines science with actionable parenting advice will find it especially useful. It stands out in the nature parenting category because it is not only inspirational but also structurally clear, with the EMU framework giving the book a memorable organizing principle. It also avoids the mistake of treating nature as a remote or elite experience reserved for vacations and wilderness adventures. Instead, it shows how ordinary places can become formative settings for attention, wonder, and attachment. For readers who want a thoughtful, evidence-based case for raising children outdoors, the book offers both a philosophy and a practical starting point. If you would like to support Scott Samson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.